It's Tuesday, March 28th, 2023, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Blust for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, Binance, top headlines, and more. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin, Ether, and most other top tokens are trading lower and markets almost universally down. That rather abrupt drop comes after the U.S. Commodities Futures Trading Commission, better known as the CFTC, yesterday sued big crypto exchange Binance and its founder CZ specifically, alleging that it offered unregistered crypto derivatives in the U.S. The exchange's token is down now more than 5%, less than a day after the suit was filed. An important question on traders' minds is how much of a going concern Binance is now that the CFTC has struck this blow. On the one hand, Binance's CEO called the complaint, quote, unexpected and disappointing, end quote. Yet, in February, the exchange had said that it was prepared to pay monetary penalties to make amends for sins of the past. But at the same time, there's some debate about how much traders are shrugging off the CFTC's allegations versus how much Bitcoin has the ability to react to news because of a lack of liquidity. Quote, when you have low liquidity, you tend to get very quiet markets, said the co-founder of Solana-based derivatives liquidity protocol Hero in a recent CoinDesk TV interview. Continuing, you get these jumps in the market and these liquidity vacuums where things move to a new price and immediately settle down again, end quote. According to big bank Morgan Stanley, the top exchange accounts for something like 81% of the total Bitcoin traded on centralized exchanges last month. And according to the suit, a single trader from Chicago is alleged to be responsible for some 12% of the total trading volume on the Binance exchange. So, observers are worried that the lawsuit would bring a deeper decline in market liquidity, a measure of how difficult or easy it is to trade larger quantities of a given token at stable prices. Quote, the main worry is what this will do short-term to market liquidity. If market makers step back from trading on Binance now, and if Binance's US-based trading desks have to stop operations, that will reduce liquidity in an already thin market, Noel Acheson, the author of the popular Crypto's Macro Now newsletter, said. Continuing, that will exacerbate volatility and could keep some large players on the sidelines for a while longer, end quote. Following the news, Binance users withdrew large sums of crypto en masse from the exchange. In just the last 24 hours, Binance has seen a net outflow of some $400 million on the Ethereum blockchain, according to analytics firm Nansen. That compares to a net outflow of $2 billion over the past 7 days. Savvy traders, who Nansen considers smart money operators, have also removed some $9 million over the last 24 hours from the exchange as of this morning. And even as the CFTC goes after Binance, representing yet another volley against some of the most important companies in crypto today, the decentralization narrative continues. Or at least that's one of the few narratives driving markets toward gains. Decentralized derivatives exchange GMX saw its token rise by some 4% over the last 24 hours, in a way that's reminiscent of how liquid staking platforms rose in February when the SEC took aim at centralized staking platforms. All told, it looks like it's going to be a doozy of a week, and it's just Tuesday. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk markets analysts Sage D. Young, Amkar Godbole, and Sam Reynolds. Bitcoin is currently trading at $26,971. That's down about 3% since their show yesterday, while Ether is trading at $1,736 per ETH. That's down 1.3% over the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Market Index. And speaking of the CoinDesk Market Index, we're looking at an absolute reading this morning of 1,196. That compares against yesterday's reading of 1,225 and represents a 2.3% loss across top traded tokens on the day. And now, with traditional markets, here's Adrian Blust.
Thank you, Adam. In the U.S., major stocks ticked down, with the tech-heavy NASDAQ leading the losses at 1.25% lower. The S&P 500, meanwhile, lost 0.7%, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 0.2%. In Europe, major indices tracked similar losses, with Germany's DAX and London's FTSE 100 both losing about 0.25%. The regional Stock 600, meanwhile, lost 0.3%. Over in Asia, stocks were mixed. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index gained 1.1%, while mainland China's Shanghai Composite Index lost 0.2%. Japan's Nikkei 225, meanwhile, gained just over 0.1%. In commodities markets, Brent crude, the global benchmark for oil, gained 2.4%, trading at $77.50 per barrel. Gold, meanwhile, is trading at $1,962 per troy ounce. That's up just under 0.6% since yesterday. Today's traditional market coverage draws from MarketWatch.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Stay tuned for After the Break, when we're going to dig into the latest set of regulatory happenings. It's been quite an eventful couple of days. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, Adrian Doc Blust here. Firstly, thank you for listening and for leaving your reviews. We see you. If you're listening on Spotify by chance, some of you noticed that you can reply a comment on every individual episode. So if you have any feedback, questions, or want to share what you think about a particular episode, just click on the episode on Spotify and hit reply under the Q&A section. You'll find me there. We want to hear your questions and get you all involved. I'll comb through the replies and bring up any questions we see fit on the show. So it'd be great to hear from you. And thank you again for listening.
Join CoinDesk's Consensus 2023, the most important conversation in crypto and Web3, happening April 26th through 28th in Austin, Texas. Immerse yourself in all that blockchain technology has to offer creators, builders, founders, brand leaders, entrepreneurs, and more. Use code MARKETSDAILY to get 15% off your pass. Visit consensus.coindesk.com or check the link in the show notes.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. The U.S. Commodity Future Trading Commission, better known as the CFTC, sued crypto exchange Binance and its founder, CZ, on Monday, with allegations that the company knowingly offered unregistered crypto derivatives products in the U.S. in violation of federal law. The lawsuit, filed in the Northern District of Illinois on Monday, alleged that Binance operated a derivatives trading operation in the United States, offering trades for cryptocurrencies including Bitcoin, Ether, and others, which the suit referred to universally as commodities. We'll talk more about that in a minute. The suit also alleged that the company, under the CEO's leadership, directed its employees to spoof their locations through the use of virtual private networks. The commodities regulator is charging Binance with violating laws around offering futures transactions, so-called illegal off-exchange commodity options, failing to register as a futures commissions merchant, designated contract market or swap execution facility, as well as poorly supervising its business, not implementing know your customer or anti-money laundering processes, and having a poor anti-evasion program. The news reverberated through token markets, while crypto-related stocks also fell. CoinDesk's Nick Day, Jack Schickler, Oliver Knight, Jesse Hamilton, and Cheyenne Ligon have all the details on this one in the show notes. And relatedly, the CFTC could require Binance to cease operations in the U.S. as part of a potential settlement, brokerage firm Bernstein said in a research report out this morning. Binance.us is a relatively minor part of the overall business and makes up less than 5% of the exchange's global operations, the report goes on to say. Given that cryptocurrency trading is a global business, the brokerage expects that Binance will look to, quote, safeguard its dominant international business, which is its cash cow, and where it has worked on licenses in Europe, Africa, and Australia, analysts wrote. The note goes on to say that this latest enforcement is, quote, not material to overall crypto markets, end quote, as Binance.us operations are not material, which is to say they're too small to matter. And it doesn't expect this news to trigger a larger sell-off in markets, as the regulatory narrative has pivoted from the U.S. to expected Hong Kong and China flows. CoinDesk's Will Canny reports more on this one. Meanwhile, a federal judge has paused bankrupt crypto lender Voyager Digital's efforts to sell its assets to Binance.us as the Department of Justice tries to stall the deal. District Judge Jennifer Reardon of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York granted the U.S. Department of Justice's application for a stay pending an appeal on the sale. The move puts the sale on hold until this appeal can work its way through the court system. The judge who oversaw the bankruptcy case, of course, approved the sale earlier this month over government agency objections. In the bankruptcy judge's view at the time, agencies like the Securities and Exchange Commission and the U.S. Trustee's Office had failed to make a persuasive case for holding off the sale. After regulatory staff made allegations of potential bad behavior at Binance.us, but declined to provide any details on the allegations or any evidence of their truth to the court. The bankruptcy judge's position was to take into account any evidence, but ultimately not to subordinate the needs of those with funds locked up in bankruptcy behind novel regulatory theories and no evidence. CoinDesk's Nick Day reports on this one, but as we look back at the past three stories, it's interesting to note that although Binance is once again in trouble with U.S. regulators, it's sort of the opposite of what we've seen so far. To this point, it's mostly been the securities regulators at the Gensler-led SEC who have made the argument that essentially all tokens are securities, and if they were, that would mean that Binance.us would need to register as a securities exchange, which would have serious and probably existential implications for their business as it's conducted today. On the other side of the regulatory table now is the CFTC, or Commodities Future Trading Commission, which is charged with regulating the trading of futures contracts tied to commodities. And the allegation and the complaint against Binance is that, at one point at least, they offered futures contracts on tokens like Bitcoin and Ether, but also their own exchange token known as BNB and a number of others. Something like Bitcoin can't be both a security and a commodity. Those classifications are sort of mutually exclusive in the real world. So this approach that we're seeing suggests that both the securities and commodities regulators have their own novel theories about what tokenized assets are, and each are claiming that their respective agencies gives their agency essentially complete power. But they can't both be right, at least not in the blanket terms that they've claimed so far. So while that leads to a very confusing reality, what is clear, at least from where I sit, is that with the CFTC now also jumping into the banking crisis of 2023, we've got a deeply antagonistic Cold War being waged against crypto companies by the federal government, throwing essentially anything they can at the wall to see what sticks. It seems to be an important growing dynamic, and it's a story we'll be watching. Turning to international news, lawmakers on two key committees in the European Parliament have voted in favor of imposing limits on payments by so-called unverified crypto users as part of a large-scale overhaul of money laundering laws, which we wish them luck with. The plans, considered alongside measures to forbid businesses from accepting large cash payments and create a new European Union anti-money laundering agency known as AMLA, were approved by the Parliament's Economic and Civil Liberties Committees on Tuesday. The French lawmaker who leads the parliament's negotiations on the overhaul earlier told reporters that the plans wouldn't prevent crypto payments, since the cap of 1,000 euros per transaction won't apply if a regulated wallet provider is involved or the identity of the payer is known. CoinDesk's Jack Schickler reports on a rule that might run into trouble in real life, but at least it sounds good on paper. And sticking with the European continent for the moment, the UK Treasury is cancelling its plans to release a government-backed non-fungible token, better known as an NFT, that had been aimed at making the United Kingdom a global crypto hub. According to the BBC, the chair of the Treasury Select Committee cited economic uncertainty across the cryptocurrency sector as a factor in sunsetting the collection. CoinDesk's Cam Thompson has more on this one. And finally, lawyers for Sam Bankman-Fried, that's the founder of collapsed crypto exchange FTX, have agreed on new bail conditions with U.S. prosecutors, according to court documents filed yesterday. The disgraced former CEO will be given a new phone that won't have internet access and will be limited to text messages and voice calls. He'll also reportedly be provided a new laptop with limited functionality that will be allowed access only to approved websites. Of all the inconveniences Bankman-Fried has faced so far, these may be the most limiting. Bankman-Fried's parents, in whose home the FTX founder has been and will continue to reside, have agreed not to allow their son to use their devices nor to bring unpermitted devices into the house, which seems like a totally safe and reasonable condition. These conditions, initially proposed at the start of the month, follow allegations that Bankman-Fried had attempted to contact witnesses while on bail. CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley has more in the show notes.
And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, send the show an email at podcast@coindesk.com, or you can email me directly at adamlevine@coindesk.com. If you like what we're doing, we always appreciate reviews on Apple Podcasts or your preferred listening platform. This episode was produced by Adrian Blust and myself, with further support from the podcast team over at coindesk.com. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Markets Daily.